It has been just over a year since the mass shooting at Pulse, the Orlando nightclub in which 49 people, gay and brown and young men, were killed in the deadliest terror attack since September 11th. I will admit that I have not been thinking about this. Haven't been thinking about the death and the hatred and my own fears as the sky has remained high and the weather warm. But Amelia reminded me the other day, Amelia, Giovanni's mom, who when I was asking her and Pete about their son, who we dedicated today, when I asked her to tell me about him and their hopes for him, she reminded me that the devastation at Pulse was very near the birth of her son. The day he was born, she told me, I looked at him crying and promised to love him whoever he turned out to be. I will love you no matter what you are, no matter who you are. My son, sure, she said, but really my child. In the middle of the night, when Tobias still wakes, Tara and I sing to him a litany of songs, and depending on how long his small body fights sleep, it's quite a mixtape. You are my sunshine, all the way to Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do with It, sung in a sweet, slow question that lulls and asks life's deep questions circa 1984. The words aren't for him in the middle of the night, of course, but rather our arms, our bodies, the familiar sounds assuring him back to safekeeping. And so it is with rituals such as these that we offered today. Blessings for a child when words can't yet hold weight. In time, I do hope the children of this community know they are anointed by being alive, by being raised in and taught by and held within this village of the human story, the stardust of all. But the power of this ritual, the promise, is far more for each of us. Afraid of thorns and grief-stricken by what our children will come to know, hoping for calm in the dark of night when we are exhausted by the constant demand of care. And so we say the same words with each child whose name is learned year after year, birth after birth. The village grows and we grow to trust the rhythm of what we say we believe. First the water, then the rose, a blessing for the mind, the heart, the lips, the body, the hands. In some beautiful and surprising moments, we are reminded that the blessing is for us too, and also for the one sitting next to us, if we dare trust outside our own hearts. And also the one who didn't come today, if we strive to remember, and also the ones we've yet to meet, if we are to open our hearts in the ways we crave despite our fears, our bodies, our arms, the sounds we make together, assuring us back to safekeeping, assuring us not just into the beauty, but into the celebration of life. I wonder, near anniversaries such as these, if the world is changing in ways I can't understand, in ways I can't accept, or if instead that to which we dedicate ourselves is simply becoming more important. I love that I get to step into the pulpit as I receive your applause. It's always.
Who chose this?
That's right. Many of us remember that in 1992, Bosnia was thick in a civil war. And as we each know, war does not happen on some war land, a place set aside from the rest of the world where only war can happen. But instead, right in the middle of towns and homes, schools and shops, and this war was no different. The story goes that one day in the fire of bombs and bullets at 4 p.m. to be exact, a bomb exploded in the city of Sarajevo and killed 22 people who were waiting in line to buy bread. They weren't soldiers waiting for rations or even apologists waving propaganda, and even if they were. This 4 p.m. explosion was like many days in Sarajevo and like many places in this very moment. Near the bakery where that explosion happened lived Vedran Smilovic, a cellist with the opera orchestra in Sarajevo. At 4 p.m., the day after that bombing, Smilovic entered the square where the bomb had exploded, sat down, and began to play his cello. And then, for the next 22 days, one day for each person who had died, at exactly 4 p.m., he played that same piece of music. There's a powerful message in the novel Beloved by Toni Morrison. In it, Seti is remembering the religious revivals held by her mother-in-law, Baby Suggs. Those who attended are mostly escaped slaves and their children. Morrison writes, "It started that way. Laughing children, dancing men, crying women, and then it got mixed up. Women stopped crying and danced. Men sat down and cried, children danced, women laughed, children cried until exhausted and riven, all and each lay about the clearing, damp and gasping for breath. In the silence that followed, Baby Hugs offered up to them her great big heart. She did not tell them to clean up their lives or to go and sin no more. She did not tell them that they were blessed of the earth, its inheriting meek or its glory bound pure. She told them the only grace they could have was the grace they could imagine, that if they could not see it, they would not have it." A friend of mine who spent quite a bit of time in Turkey in recent years sent me a picture of the city streets, and you can find it on the cover of your order of service. Still from the Bosnian War, you walk through town feeling the crevices of where the mortar broke the city's ground, where explosions took life, underneath the tables at sidewalk cafes, in the promenade along the river. Those broken places in the concrete are now filled in with red resin, and now they look like roses. Throughout the whole city, artists took to the places of grief and marked it, kept it hard, but made it beautiful too. Sarajevo's roses, they are called. Grief made real 20 years later, a memory that the people are unable to escape, but also one that is beauty born out of brokenness. Each of us is carrying with us some hurt and exhaustion in the dark, each with our own songs we sing to draw us forward. We need a tool to find and name or make the beauty. Today, a blessing for a baby. Tomorrow, laughter, or tears, or dancing, or all. For if we cannot see it, the beauty out of the brokenness, we cannot have it. We need a tool. We need to know the power we have. And so we build to what we can imagine. Simon Rodeo was a construction worker in the 1920s who lived in Watts, a neighborhood known for its unrest and its large city of LA. Poverty and racism, it needed beauty. And so for 30 years, Rodeo took to building a landmark for his neighborhood, the Watts Tower. From far off in the distance, one might think that Rodeo brought to his town the high tower of a church steeple. The largest of his towers stretches 99.5 feet high. But a closer look, and Rodeo reminds us of the mosaic of our lives. Every inch of this tower is covered in a mosaic, a collection of discarded things in a disregarded neighborhood. Old dessert plates, coffee cups, seashells, beer bottles, as casual as brick and mortar. Rodea took what would otherwise be thrown away and elevated it, both literally and metaphorically, into art. "There is a way of being in the world that calls us beyond hope," writes Terry Tempest Williams. "Mosaic is not simply an art form, but a form of integration, a way of not only seeing the world, but responding to it." I want you to take a moment, this moment, and call to mind the places of pain, the craters left by grief, the fear of life in the midst of celebration. How can these wounds be transformed into the blessing and the beauty the world is hungry for, that we each desperately sing for, the kind we will know each other by? We often think of grace, that theological concept of unearned blessing, as being owned by the Christian tradition. But in the sect of Hinduism, there are two schools of thought about grace. And these are the last stories I'll offer to you today. One is which God is like a mother monkey, and the other like a mother cat. The so-called cat school of thought folks believe that God acts like a mother cat carrying around her kittens. Picture that, if you can. The cat bites the kitten on the scruff of the neck, picks her up, and carries her from one place to another. The kitten does nothing. Maybe squirms, but most of the time it's a rather resigned little animal. The kitten is transported to where she needs to be without making much effort. Grace unearned. But there is that mother monkey. And you can picture the difference. The baby climbs up onto the back of the mother monkey and holds on for dear life, while mama monkey jumps from one tree to another and then sometimes drags the child through the ground. This school of thought says you've got to show a little initiative to receive a blessing. Partner with the sacred, with the things you dedicate yourselves to that which you know to be holy, and then hold on for dear life to the hairy back of the holy and jump for that blessing. Now, you might imagine that I'm not very comfortable with just hanging on for dear life, and you know I'm not going to go limp or resign to the movement of the world, so I'm not offering that to you either today. But maybe you are in one of those places where you need to just be carried along, or where you feel like you are holding on for dear life. And if you are in neither of those spaces, I invite you to remember that we can also be the ones who lift, who carry, who hold on to that which needs to be moved. Wherever you are today, whatever you're holding, whatever needs to be held, I invite you to imagine how we may mark the hard places with beauty and with blessing also. May we imagine this blessing, and may it be so.